turning to page 129. Let's sing At the Cross. We'll sing all four of them. At the Cross.
129. 129?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At last, then did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign.
Channel. We welcome you to attend us with us. We are excited that at the cross many things happened, didn't it? And by the cross we understand that our salvation is through the blood shed, that Christ died for our sins and buried and rose again. You trust that today, you're saved, sealed, sanctified, as Tom was sharing earlier, and you're not getting out of it, you know. So, but anyway, it's just like preserving fruit and stuff. Many of you know what canning is all about and being sealed in that, and it don't get open until the sealer opens it up. So we want to thank you for being here. We don't pass a plate for those who are listening. You got a donate button there if you want to help out the ministry. We greatly appreciate it. There's some exciting things that's going on in the world today, aren't they? And there's some good things out there, whether you want to believe or not. There's some really good things. That one thing is that there's a gospel that we preach and teach, and out of the King James Bible, is one that takes a dark world and brings light to it.
Amen.
You know, and we know when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he was the light of the world, wasn't he? And even though there was a darkness in the world, he was the light. Now, where's the Lord at today? He's in the door, he's in royal exile. He's up there, but who is supposed to be the light? He's gone.
We are.
We are. So we got a good message out there. Come on. And I think it was too. Anyway, we're back at the old building if you wonder what's going on. So we're most secure church in the world right now, if you think about it. You know, we're known as a little grace church under the law, so there's a dispatch station above us. And so we always shut the doors and all that stuff. I know we do carry, by the way. We got a sword. So, you know, but anyway, we can go on about it. But hey, we got prayer requests and praise items that's out there. I know many of us is going through some illnesses. Many of us are going through some financial difficulties. Many of us are looking for a job. Now, who's looking for a job out here? Nobody. If you want to work, you can find work. We're thankful for that. But, you know, I think about I'm probably, outside of my wife, probably about the youngest person in here. And I look at many of you right now, some of you still working. And you know what? You probably like to work. You know, some of us are retired, just laid back, like, hey, I'm on easy street right now. But the thing is if you can work and you like to work, continue to work. You know, I know many of you provided for your families all these years. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't take care of your family, worse than the infidel. You know, that type of thing. So there are scriptures that says, you know, enjoy yourself. Hey, life is wonderful. If you really think about it, you know, you could sit there all day long and think about all the negative things, and it just eats at you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
As a canker. But I see posts about happy things, and I'm like, what are they happy about? But you have to look at it and, you know, think like, hey, they're happy. Well, I should be happy.
Right.
You know, hey, I'm going to die. You're going to die. Are you happy about it?
Amen.
You know, yeah, many of us are, because we know where we're going to spend eternity. But anyway, we are thankful for the things that Jesus Christ has given us. And what he has given us, he gives us his mind, he gives us his word. And if you rightly divide the word of truth, you can find the key to understanding the word of God out there.
Amen.
You know, it don't have to be confusion. And I know many of you, and I've done the same. There was a time that I'm like, I don't understand this, and I put it over on the corner, and I went about my merry way, you know, that type of thing. And then I'm like, whoa, there's got to be more to this world than just the world. And then you get in the Word, and you're like, open it up and say, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Wow, what does it mean by that? And that type of thing. That's why we study the Word of God here, rightly divided. You know, so I could go on with that all day, and then some. But let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about our prayer requests and praise items, the spoken and unspoken, and the many things that many of us may be dealing with, I am thankful that we can lift it up to you. And in doing so, it gives us peace. Lord, I'm thankful for the saints that are here today. I'm thankful for the ones that are watching on the internet. And we just hope that everything will be simple in the messages and in what we're doing, and be able to just rest in what you have done for us at Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're in lesson 20, by the way. And as we're taping this, it will be going up on the internet, on our YouTube channel and our website. Sorry. My memory is still there a little bit, but just bear with me. When you get as old as I am, you guys got something to look forward to. So, you know, what we have been going over in the gospel is in the gospel records. Now, this may seem like, wait a minute, I heard this before. That's okay. Yeah. You know, that's okay. So the thing is, what we're doing is repetitious, right? You want to continue to study and study and study and study. And as we study through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's important to understand what is the good news being preached therein. And what is the, and we already seen the titles that have been preached through this. Now, many of you got notes on this already. I want you to look at your notes as you go on through that. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the grace of God."
No.
What does it say? The gospel of the kingdom. And healing all manners of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, this is a message that was preached all through the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to close this timeline up just for a brief second or two. And this is where we're studying right now. Okay? This is also known as the time past. Okay? And when Jesus Christ, all through his earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's preaching and teaching to Israel only. This line up here is Israel's, guys. This line down here is the Gentiles. And Gentiles means
nations.
Okay? One nation God chose way back up over here to give the promise of the land. Now, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Boy, don't we wish that was true today, healing all the diseases and sickness. We'd be in the kingdom right now if that was going on. Christ is preaching the gospel of the kingdom when he starts his ministry, even from the announcement of John that preached John the Baptist over here. When you look towards at the end of the earthly ministry of Christ and onto into the future and what the apostles are going to be preaching over here. So John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom. Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. And we're going to go over some verses about the 12, what they're commissioned and all that stuff. And into the future is the gospel of the kingdom over here. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew chapter 24. There was a question asked about him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And want to know when the end shall come. What shall we look for and all this stuff. Now, a lot of people will take Matthew chapter 24 and refer it to a rapture taking place over there. But it's not the rapture. Okay? Matthew chapter 24 verse 14. "And this gospel of the what?
Kingdom
shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall what?
The end come."
Okay. Think about this for a second, guys and gals. If this gospel, when this gospel of the kingdom was preached into all the world, now you got people out there right now trying to preach this gospel in all the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold your finger there, and you should know this verse I'm going to, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You know who Apostle Paul is? Of course
Apostle
you do. Yeah, he's Apostle of the Gentiles. He wrote 13 books out there. He wrote more books than any other writer in God's Word. That should say a lot. He also wrote for the dispensation of the grace of God. And he says, verse 23, "If you continue in the faith and ground it and settle, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister." Now, Paul says, the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and was preached to every creature, why ain't the end come?
Not the same gospel.
Why ain't honestly, if you believe God's word and every word is truth. And he says when the gospel of the kingdom was preached to all the world, and Paul says the gospel has been preached to every creature in heaven. Why ain't the end come, guys? There's an answer to that. You know that. It's not the gospel of the kingdom that he preached. It's the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul, the apostle to the Gentile, in his dispensation of the grace of God, is preaching a different gospel. That is a good, that those two verses right there, if you want to teach somebody something and just not trick them up, see how much Bible you know, that type of thing. You know how we get. We get boastful in our Bible teaching. Oh, you all, you know, we don't want to do that, right? Right. Just say, hey, let me ask you something. What gospel you believe in? Oh, you got a gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. We're looking at some verses, aren't we? The gospel of the kingdom. Well, Lord Jesus Christ, if this gospel is preached in all, the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world, the end shall come. Well, Apostle Paul just said, are you still in Colossians for a second?
Mm-hmm.
I turned away from it, but there's something very, very important else, and I'm sure we'll get to it later on. Verse 24 says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and filled up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Verse 25, wherefore I am made a minister. We saw that up there, right? He made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to what?
To fulfill
the word of God. The dispensation of God is given to Paul to fulfill the word of God. Do you know when Paul penned his last epistles that you have a fulfilled word of God?
Amen.
Because Hebrews through Revelation has already been written, guys, or been written around this time.
Right.
So this even the mystery which he had been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. This is important to understand. The gospel, the grace of God, is different from the gospel of the kingdom. Let's keep moving. We could turn to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to. Now he says, in other words, when Jesus Christ commissions his apostles in the post-resurrection commission, the ministry, they were to carry out the so-called Great Commission. It's preaching of the gospel, and it is the gospel of the kingdom. You with me? That's what they're commissioned to preach and teach. They was not commissioned to teach the dispensation of the grace of God. They was not commissioned to teach the gospel of the uncircumcision. Now, I asked this question before, I asked it again. If this great commission is to be set forth for a kingdom over here, did it ever go out of commission?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you're shaking your head now. Yeah. You know, but it's set aside. They're very good. But there's people out there, hundreds of thousands of people, preaching a gospel kingdom message for us today. And they believe that Great Commission. You probably been in the churches that, hey, we're under the Great Commission. We need to go in all the world, right? We send ministries. Hey, I'll share this with you. Got a guy from India that's on our, we got an Ohio Grace Ministries Facebook page, and we post stuff on there. And he's from India, and he wants so much to be a part of our ministry, to be included in our ministry. Now, he's in India, and he sends pictures of his church, and he's got a pretty good number, and he's wanting him to be a part. Well, we're not set up that way. You with me? We get people calling, asked if we have food pantries and clothes pantries all the time. I get those calls. I'm saying, I apologize. We're not set up for that. Now, could we? Possibly. You know, that type of thing. But we are not set up in that ministry. But we support Grace School of Bible, okay? Each month we send them money from this church. And they can dispense to these ministries around the world. And that's who I support, or we support, and that's who I trust.
Right.
And so I was telling him, I'm going to put you in touch with a guy in Chicago that has ministries. And he got back in touch with me. He said, hey, have him, email him this guy over there. So this guy in Chicago knows this guy in India that has a ministry that does what we're doing.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. That Great Commission. Now, if you was under a Great Commission, you'd probably be emptying out your bank accounts and selling your houses to support people like that. Now, Paul, when he taught things in the dispensation of grace of God, he went to that city. He taught them for years. And most of those cities was merchant cities, you know, big move. And so it'd be like, you know, moving to Cleveland, Ohio. You can find any ethnic group in the world right there. And you started a church right there. And you started getting those people from Lithuania and Germany and Ukraine and Saudi Arabia, and you taught them, guess where they're going to go back to eventually? They're going to go back to their homes and teach. You with me? That's how you do it, and we know that pattern. But when did the Great Commission go out of commission? I asked you to go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, Galatians chapter 2 also goes with Acts 15. Acts 15 and the apostles' journeys and stuff, some of the Jews had an issue with Paul's gospel. Okay, Paul was preaching from Acts chapter 9, nothing but the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what you get saved. From Acts chapter 9, that's when the body of Christ started. And it's when the dispensation of grace of God started. Simple, dry, cut and dry with me. And he's out there preaching the simplicity of the gospel, and these Judaizers come by and say, hey, we don't really mind you being or believe that Christ died for sins and buried and rose again, but you got to get circumcised in the manner of Moses to be saved. Now, what did they just do to that gospel?
Destroyed.
Destroyed it. Added to, watered it down. And so Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2 is the account which we're getting ready to read. So you think Paul's going to have an issue with that, or you think he's just going to hug everybody and say, you're right, I made a mistake. Lord Jesus Christ is, you know, he don't know what he's doing. You know,
yeah.
I know what I'm doing. He don't do that. Look, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up, by the way, chapter 1, verse 11 says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So where do you think Paul got his message from? Peter, James, and John?
No.
Jesus Christ.
Where at? The glorified and risen Lord and Savior. He wasn't on this earth. He didn't follow Jesus Christ on this earth. For if ye have heard my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's what he had letters doing it. And profited in Jews' religions above many of my equals in my own nation. He's making money off of that.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. I backed up a little bit. I'm just going to shut
down in verse 14.
Yeah. Being more exceedingly zealous than traditional, verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15, Galatians 1, 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, I got to ask you something right quick. I know I'm not chasing rabbits, but when you come across these verses, you got to expound on them. When he separated from my mother's womb, you think it's when he was in his mother? It's Israel, the mama. God separated him from Israel, and what did he say? And called it me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I confirm not with what? So when Lord Jesus Christ struck down Paul, the apostle, and gave him ministry, immediately he was preaching to the who? Heathen. He saw everybody lost. And he confirmed not with what? flesh and blood. Now, who would have been in flesh and blood?
Peter, James, John, the whole group.
The whole apostleship, the Great Commission. Now, jump down to, and he says, neither I went up to Jerusalem, but chapter 2, verse 1. Then in 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem and with Barnabas and took Titus with me. And Titus, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run and had run in vain. Okay, he's not going out there and creating a bunch of havoc. He's going straight to the people privately. That should tell us something, right? But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be what?
Circumcised.
Now, what did Jews think about circumcision?
He had to have that, he said.
And that because a false brethren unawares brought in, who came and privately to spy out our liberty, which we had in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? So here's a group of people spying out their privy, wondering what they're going on, and to bring them into what? So what does that circumcision should tell you? If you go back under that circumcision law, what is it?
Bondage.
You don't want bondage, guys. Listen, many of us have been in bondage half our life, haven't we? Some of us feel like we're still in bondage. But look, to whom we gave place by subjection. We gave them a couple hours. Mm-mm. We broke bread with them. We drank coffee with them, tea. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Listen, they stood their course, Paul did, and Titus. They stood their course and said, we're not giving you nothing. Because what could put doubt? You ever, you, all that, well, maybe, no. We're not doing that. And he says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they were, make no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat at in conference added what?
Nothing.
Ooh. Now you think that if you took Paul's epistles as your apostle and understand what you're doing in but now, and you got that down inside of you, you think this other time past or ages could add anything to you?
No.
Now, that's not beating my chest, look at me, I know everything. Right. Couldn't you say the same thing Paul's saying?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got Paul's word, I've got God's word. We just said that a while ago, he fulfilled the word of God. So if you get this down inside of you, listen, I know many of you came out of the churches that was taught a lot of things. Now, think about what you was taught and think about what you're being taught through God's word rightly divided and say, does that add anything to me? It's not going to add anything to further what Paul's doing. You can learn from that. Listen, all scriptures are written for inspiration, okay? And what was written aforetime is written for our learning. That's not taken away from the word. I'm just talking about man doctrine out there. And you got to do this, you got to do that. He says, but contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the what? Uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Ooh. There's two gospels right there. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, I thought you said there's only one. I didn't say that. But many of us think there's only one gospel. The gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to Paul as the gospel of the circumcision was committed to Peter now. With me?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, who's Cephas?
Peter.
And John. By the way, you see those three names right there?
Mm-hmm.
After Hebrews, what's written after Hebrews?
James.
What's Peter. After James?
Peter.
What's after Peter?
John.
James.
Hebrews.
Hebrews.
James. James.
Peter.
Peter.
Yeah, for a second.
John.
You think that's in there by mistake? James, Peter, and John, what we just read. James is the leader of the church in Jerusalem, guys.
Right.
Okay? I know Peter, everybody turns Peter on this, you know, Peter's apostle and all that stuff. From my understanding, this apostle Peter never stepped foot in Rome. Ever. But what's out there?
Yeah,
glorifying Peter. But look, and when James see, I just think that's way it's written right there. It don't say John, it don't say Peter. It says James, Cephas, which is Peter, and John, who seem to be pillars. Not who seem to be pillars. You know, that's like, oh, wait a minute. What are they doing out there? Perceived that the grace was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, only that they would... that should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Paul's not going to forget about the poor saints. That's right, why he went and made collections. And he said, hey, you take up a collection before I get there. So we're not being busy with that. Okay? But what did he do? They right hand of fellowship, that you go, Paul, Barnabas, you go to who?
The heathen.
The heathen. And they go to who? That's when the Great Commission went out of commission. When Lord Jesus Christ told Peter, what you bound here on earth is bound in heaven, what you let loose, that type of thing, that was a commission, that was authority. And when they said you go to the heathen, let me ask you this, where did Paul go in his missionary apostles' journeys? Did he go?
No, he went out throughout the world.
Throughout the world, but where did he always stop at and go in and open up the scriptures?
Synagogue.
Who's in the synagogue?
His people.
His people, but who we know him as?
Israel.
Israel. Paul's going to the heathen, and he's walking in the synagogue. You see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
Who are those people in that synagogue?
Heathens.
Heathen. Lost.
That's
why in the dispensation of grace, God says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. From that point right there, Paul always, when he got saved and he went out to the heathen, we just read that a little while ago, Everybody was lost according to him. Now he walked in those synagogues and he opened up the scriptures. You got Thessalonians, you got the Bereans, you know, like, whoa. Yes. And they became saved. This little flock, Peter, James, and John, they withdrew. They did not further the gospel of the kingdom anymore. But the people that they taught and brought into that gospel kingdom, they taught them what Paul was doing. Read chapter 9 of Romans. Okay, chapter 9 of Romans, 9, 10, 11, it will explain to you why God has postponed Israel's program. Hadn't forgot about them. Postponed them. And even Peter over here says, the things that Paul wrote unto you are hard to understand. So you got to think about that for a minute. Wouldn't that not be what we're talking about? It seems simple to us. Hard for an Israelite that's been taught a kingdom program over here?
Yeah.
Yes. Many of us has been taught a kingdom program over here, and when you came and sit down for the first time and started listening to this dispensation truth, that's crazy.
It's hard.
Yeah. Fake news.
Could the little flock kingdom people say, hey, I don't want part of this. I want to get saved,
well,
right?
See, you would think that, but Paul and Peter, James, and Paul said, hey, listen, just hang on. Endure to the end. Your promise is coming. You know? So this little flock right here is a little flock. In the dispensation and grace of God, I always say this, and you know I'm jokingly, we're standing room only in here right now. You know, we've got to have three more services in the next little bit. No. A little flock is a little flock. Don't be discouraged. But don't forget, I know many of you text me and stuff like this. Hey, I talked to so-and-so this week. You know? And I talked to so-and-so. And they're going to say, Don't give up on them. Keep doing what you're doing. You're teaching people what you know. But look, what I'm getting at is Paul and his message, the Jew and the Gentile out there are the same. Lost. Praise God, hallelujah, because you know what happened? People would elevate you up here and make you become a Jew again, a spiritual Israelite, and there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a spiritual Jew. Paul will tell you that. And getting back to the kingdom gospel. Therefore, it is very important to understand when studying the gospel of the kingdom, you're studying the message that is found in Romans through Philemon, right?
No.
What books?
Genesis through John.
That's all times past. But Matthew through John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is also the gospel and the ministry that the apostles will carry through the book of Acts.
Hebrews through Revelation.
And all over here, in this program over here. Okay? Ages to come. And in fact, the gospel account is not only found in the book of Acts, you can find it through Hebrews through Revelation. Same gospel. Same gospel.
As the little kingdom. Farmers.
Yes, yes. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm so thankful, feeling a lot better. I'm so thankful for you guys keeping the church going, man. I really appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How? Now, who's the book of Hebrews written to?
Hebrews.
Thank you. Hebrew is a nationality. It's a race of people. Jew is the religion. Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, spoke the salvation that the book of Hebrews is speaking of first, and it was confirmed in who? Them. Okay? You was not here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You did not hear the Lord Jesus Christ teach them that.
No.
Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. This refers to apostles in the Acts account, period. The message began to be preached in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it continues in the early part of the book of Acts. And then continues in Hebrews Revelation. So, once again, I'm going to turn this time chart this way. So it was first spoken here, and it started working through here, confirmed here, and it's going to be carried through over here. With me?
Mm-hmm.
And the gospel of the kingdom has to do with the kingdom that God promised to the nation Israel. Now, that gospel of the kingdom has to do with a man right here.
Yeah, King. Yeah, Jesus.
Okay? And it's a covenant that God made with David about a kingdom. And it is good news that God promised Israel that a covenant has been made with King David. It wasn't King Saul. Hey, you remember when they came out of Egypt, God wanted to carry them on eagle wings. He fed them. He said, just let me do it. No, we want laws. We got a law. Then after laws wasn't good enough, wasn't it? God gave them judges. You know how many, judges they had? Don't take a wild guess.
12.
Close.
No.
10.
13.
Samson was a judge?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, here's a question I'm going to post on Facebook later. Who cut Samson's hair?
I don't know.
You can actually cut it with.
Break the man, break the life.
No. Say that one more time.
The men that was with the lighter.
Delilah didn't cut it.
Yeah, the men.
You know, we always see pictures and watch them cut. No, she brought the men and she orchestrated it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's just a Judges 16:19. If you want to look it up, but the thing is that they had judges. And then something else is that that wasn't good enough, so they wanted what? King. They're doing exactly what the heathen was doing out there. Yeah. And got in trouble. In 2 Samuel, David wants to build a house for the Lord to live in. David said that God's ark ought to have a house. And David was told that what?
You have bloody hands.
He could not build it. You know, that would probably crush me. Lord, I'm following you. You gave me this, you know, kingdom. Yeah. And you're like, let me build. Nope. Got blood on your hands. So he gives it to who to build?
Solomon.
Yeah. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, for sake of time, we don't have to look at it. If you were to take a note, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13, it tells him about establishing his throne and a house forever. Now, I know people out there says it's not really a literal, physical kingdom. You've heard that.
Yeah.
It's all spiritual. You got spiritual life. You look at that window right now, there's your kingdom. You know, well, many of us sitting in our homes, sitting in that big master chair, like peasants. This is my throne. You ever feel that way sometimes? She bought me a big old easy chair, and that thing's so nice. I'm sitting in it last night, and it has them ones that brings your head up like this, you know, instead of you like this, brings it like this. I'm like, I'm the king, King Edward. I'm not peasant no more. King Edward, peasants. Popcorn. Bring it. Anyway, you can get, you know what I'm saying? The leader of your home, you are the king. You know that? And the prophet, priest, and king.
Remember that, Sherry.
That's what God told Adam. Adam was a prophet, priest, and king. And then everybody else is supposed to, when you're in your home, you're the spiritual leader of your home, guys. And David's kingdom is and David's son is going to last forever. Now, we could talk about, in the book of Isaiah, it's talked about the sure mercies of David, and it's confirming in the promise that he made with over here. And God promised David a kingdom, and it should last forever. That's what Psalms 89 talks about. Verse 34 through 37 says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. God cannot do what? There's one thing that God cannot do.
Right.
Lie. So when he says, I'm going to do it, he's going to do it. And it should scare a lot of people out there, but you know what's happening? How long you would say from Apostle Paul to now, 1970 some years?
Yeah.
People's like, where's your God at?
Yeah.
You ain't got no God. Show me. And you're like, okay, let me show you. No. That's just man's writings. That type of thing. Listen, I've been down that road, and some of you have too. That's why nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me with mankind. I'll turn on the news last night. I know what fake news is saying. I know what real news is saying. You have to discern the truth from that. And if you need an outlet from it, get in this news. This is good news, cover to cover. But he can't lie. Once I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie unto David. So he promised that David's seed will have a throne forever. The passage is talking about a covenant, David about his throne, and in Matthew chapter 1, you can be turning to Luke chapter 12, if you don't mind. In Matthew chapter 1, we already studied about Jesus Christ being the son of David and the son of Abraham. And it takes 20-some chapters in Matthew that he's talking about his son of David. Then all of a sudden he's son of Abraham. And this is the promise of royalty. To Abraham was given the racial promises of a nation and a land to dwell in. And God gave all that land to who? Israel. Do you think that little stretch of land over there that England got in a war, that little bitty stretch of land is all what God promised Abraham?
Huge amount. It's just him taking it.
He said, get up and walk. And it's a whole boundary. It's all of that Palestine area. Boy, you say that to the wrong people, you're going to have a fight. But God did not put Israel in that land, guys. And I know this upsets a lot of people that's listening. In 1948 was not God's promise to fulfill prophecy. Mm-mm. And there's a group of prophecy preachers went up there, Harry Truman, and said, do this. This is what God wants you to do. We're fulfilling prophecy. And it's been a mistake ever since. That land was fought in a war, and they put them in that land. Who put them in there?
Man did.
England. Man. Yeah. God says, and we'll look at that later on, God says that he will take his people out from among the heathen, and he will put them in the land of the promise, and he will do this, and he will do. Now, who's he?
God.
You think he needs your help?
No.
He does not need your help, and he's going to do it.
Amen.
God don't need us. Listen, when we're in a battle right now in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting the whole armor of God on. You know that armor that you put on the front, it don't cover your back. You ever notice that, the stuff you put on? If you got the same people in your foxhole that knows this gospel, you don't have to worry about your back. Lord Jesus Christ got your back. But in the day, you need to put that armor on. Why? The wiles of the devil's out there. We're in a war out there. You know, have you ever heard of an information war that's going on right now? We're in a war, global war, information war, that it's not killing people. It's taking your freedom and liberty away.
Amen.
And what you watch, and they're putting what this... Listen, this is an information war. This is a sword of truth. You pick this truth up and you start proclaiming it, sometimes it hit a brick wall, sometimes it's going to go out, guys. They can cut your internet off, they can cut your email off, they can cut your TV off, and some of us would literally die. Literally. But this right here lasts forever.
Amen.
Like that throne. Now look, the little flock will make up the governmental structure in the kingdom. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Got a few more minutes. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, I thought about that verse ever since I was growing up. Like, I'm going to seek the kingdom of God, and all these things are added to me. What's going to be added to me? Death. You know, you're looking at wealth, prosperity, you know, new shoes, new belt, food. You know, just, you know, you think of it, that's not what I'm talking about, but look, it says, fear not, little what? Flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what?
Kingdom.
So when he tells them right here, who's the little flock? Peter, James, and John, and all those little people was with them. Now, I asked the question of the day, are you going to stand on 2 feet like saints? Or are you going to walk on 4 feet like sheep being led by a pastor? You follow me with this? Israel is always referred to as sheep are very vulnerable animals. We always said sheep are stupid. You know, I know there's some animal lovers out there, but I'm just, they're very vulnerable. They will follow anything. So you need a
shepherd
or a
pastor.
Okay. Paul in his epistles never once calls you sheep.
Body of Christ,
saints. Whoa. Did I just stand up? You know what I mean?
Don't get the big head,
but you're saints of the Most High God.
Amen.
You're not a sheep led to slaughter. I can go on that all day. But the little flock is a title given to the believing remnant and the 12 apostles and the other brethren that are following the Lord. He took that whole government structure that started right here. I actually started Adam. Gave that whole government structure that was corrupt, that was following. You know when David and them was around, they was their own nation, wasn't they? And they was armies, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, captains that came in there and said, God, there's no other nations greater than Israel. So they knew, these nations around the world knew that Israel was God's chosen nation and you're not touching them. And that's why they was out there ruling and reigning. And then what happened? They fallen, right? But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes up, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, bringing in the kingdom, did they recognize him?
No.
So that nation was corrupt, so he took that little flock, remember over here, a foolish nation will provoke you. And what did Israel leaders and stuff look at that little flock and basically look at them as?
Foolish.
Who are you?
Yeah.
You know, I can see that in you guys today. Who are you to think that the dispensation of grace, that the body of Christ is doing this? Do you go like this? Well, I don't, Or do you just stand and say, I'm a saint of the Most High God.
Amen.
I'm a member of the body of Christ. You're not going to hurt me. You know, they always say sticks and stones hurt my bones, but words never hurt you. Words do hurt you. I don't care how strong you think you are. The words can't hurt you. They have committed to them the gospel of the kingdom, and that this message that they go out and preach and proclaim. There are several things to be understood in the contents of this message, and we're coming up on an hour, and it would be a good time to stop and take a few comments or questions, and we can pick up right there, because you got to know the content of that gospel of the kingdom that they're going to preach. Okay, so any comments or questions?
Don't let us.
Yeah.
Jesus talked about the kingdom of God other times, along with the kingdom of heaven. Do we have the kingdom of God going on in the dispensation of grace?
Yeah.
Well, the kingdom of God, Paul talks about the kingdom of God. Leon just went like this. The kingdom of God, you have to say the earth right here, okay? That's what the kingdom of heaven and God would in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the kingdom of God now is the whole picture. Brings into heaven and earth. That's why what Paul would say that, you know, the king, because before, where's the focus?
Earth.
You gotta remember, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9. Where is the focus?
Earth.
Where's the kingdom of heaven going to be?
That's going to be
our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be our name.
Right, the earth.
So the kingdom of God is on this earth, according to them. Mm-hmm. This mystery program, okay, was not disclosed. So now when Paul talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about the whole kingdom now, heaven and earth. So that's where right division comes in and helps clear out. You got the earthly kingdom and you got the heavenly kingdom. What heavenly kingdom did they was praying for that kingdom to come to earth. You don't pray for that to happen. What do you pray? Go up.
Yeah.
So now, through the dispensation of grace, you can understand that there's a kingdom in heaven. In the beginning, God created the universe. Is that what it says?
No.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Is that what it says?
No.
Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth. God made that distinction between heaven and earth. And when it's all said and done, new heaven and new earth, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he takes the heaven, the governments in heaven that we're going to be a part of. The angels are still going to be up there. But you know you're going to judge angels? Angels. And then the earth, the kingdom on earth, is going to be Israel and those that are saved in his program. And he takes the heaven and earth and gives it to his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to have preeminence over it all. That's the kingdom of God. Okay? The gospel of God, just to back this up a little bit, the gospel of God, you find it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He promises a redeemer to redeem mankind. That is the good news that all this people, Paul preached it, the gospel of God. Peter then preached the gospel of God. The good news that God's going to send a redeemer. And all these people should have known that. And here, who's the redeemer?
Jesus Christ.
Little four-legged lamb?
No.
Lord Jesus Christ. And only him can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Good question. Father, thank you once again for the time you've given us and the things that you've given us through your word. We hope that we will be able to glean something from the gospel of kingdom and who it's pertaining to, but also we need to know that in the gospel of the grace of God, that we have a different program than what God is doing through the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for tuning in. If you want to donate, you can go to our website. Until next week, may God bless you.